more the merrier on the Blue Jays bandwagon, Phil. Is that just because maybe, and we've never met personally, this is the first time we've talked, is this maybe a disdain for the Yankees and the Red Sox while you're cheering for the Blue Jays?
No, I hope there's no Twins fans tuning into this right now. It's a disdain for the Twins specifically. The Twins are, in fact, I'm going to use this platform to rant about the Twins right now, okay?
Please.
The Twins haven't won a playoff game, not a series. The Twins haven't won a playoff game since 2004, and they've had some pretty good 90-100 win teams since then. It's the longest postseason losing streak, 0-18, in North American team sports history. And I feel like it should be stamped on their foreheads until they eventually. And they're not gonna fix the streak this year. Obviously, they're 20 games under 500, and so it has been. This was supposed to be a 3 to 5 year window with a bunch of great young players emerging into their prime. They had a new stadium 10 years ago that was supposed to allow them to re-sign guys like Jose Berríos to extensions. And it looks like they're entering a rebuild period here. And they've just been kind of a doormat for contending teams to walk all over since the trade deadline. So,
well, Phil, and how happy? Well, obviously, I'm sure a lot of Twins fans, as you're just saying, that's remarkable too. 0-18. It's impossible that a team like that can't win at least one playoff game out of 18 chances. I don't think we're ever going to see anything like that again. But with this trade for Jose Berríos, who came to the Blue Jays, were at least the Twins fans a little happy with the return in Austin Martin and Simeon Woods Richardson?
Yes, I think I do agree that Austin Martin has people somewhat excited. I think people would get really excited about prospects here for a long time. You know, Byron Buxton coming through the pipeline, and Berríos was one of those guys 6, 7, 8 years ago or whatever. And I think Austin Martin eventually will garner that type of interest too. I think people have prospect fatigue here to some extent because it's like, all right, we're always talking about the next wave. What about this wave? I guess I would flip it around too. I'm curious to get your thoughts. It felt like the Blue Jays paid the most expensive prospect price according to the rankings to get a frontline starting pitcher. So I think from that perspective, the Twins feel like, well, I guess if you have to trade Berríos, I guess this is a great return. Ideally, you would just hang on to Berríos and sign into a contract extension. But did the Blue Jays feel like they overpaid for what Berríos can bring?
Well, that's been kind of floated around by a lot of media in this city that maybe that price was a little too steep. But for what I've been told on this radio station doing some interviews, the lack of power is a concern with Austin Martin. And that eventually led to why they decided that they can move on from him. That maybe he can't hit for power that we thought when he was such a high draft pick. And that's why I'm not saying he was expendable, but that was maybe one of the main reasons why they were willing to deal him for a guy with control, too. Because it wasn't only a rental with Jose Berríos, it was next year with Jose Berríos. And the line of thinking is that maybe you get him here in Toronto, he works with Pete Walker, he's already a very, very good pitcher. Maybe he hits the next level, much like we've seen with Robbie Ray this season, a guy who right now is the Cy Young Award favorite. And maybe Berríos likes it here in Toronto, likes the clubhouse, likes the vibe of the team, a young team that is ready to potentially win for years to come. And maybe they can sign him here long term, because outside of a couple starts there after he was traded here, Phil, he's been terrific for the Blue Jays.
Yeah. No, he's such a good guy too. Like, he's a good human, and I hope Blue Jays fans have seen that in the first, you know, handful of starts. I guess he's probably made about 10 starts now. And I think the biggest concern with him throughout the years has been August and September are his worst 2 months. If you take away last year with the weird, you know, 60-game season, August was the first month of the season. He was actually really good in August. But historically, he starts to fade as the season progresses. And I don't think it's because of conditioning. Like, he's one of the most physically freakish pitchers. He oftentimes will over-condition. But I will be curious to see. And he was good in the playoffs against the Astros last year. I think he pitched 5 scoreless innings. And so that was his biggest sort of bright light test. I will be curious to see him in the biggest games against the best teams. And he's already sort of, he's had some nice starts. That start against the Yankees a week ago. So I'm rooting for his success, and I hope Blue Jays fans take a liking to him as well.
Phil Mackey is the co-host of Mackey and Judd and the Purple Daily on Score North. Joining us here on Sportsnet today, George Russick, Sportsnet 590 The Fan. Before we talk a little more about the Twins, I host a betting show here Sunday mornings on the radio station. I wanted to ask you if you know this. Did you know that the Minnesota Twins were the number one over team in all of baseball?
Really?
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah, they're okay. 58.6% of their games go over the total, Phil. That's number one in all of Major League Baseball.
That's what happens when you have a terrible pitching staff, I'm guessing. Well, they're probably going to give up six. No, they give up 10.
Number one over team in all of baseball. And the Blue Jays are an incredible under team on the road as well, so it'll be fascinating when they play those games in Minnesota. I have to ask you about a former Blue Jay. He won the MVP here, Josh Donaldson. How have you gauged his season? And if there's one thing Josh Donaldson is, he's talk show gold, because some of his quotes and his candor are refreshing sometimes with how brutally honest he is with everything. How have you gauged Josh Donaldson's time with the Minnesota Twins?
I honestly think he's gotten a raw deal. You know, now financially he hasn't gotten a raw deal. He's making plenty of money, and they signed him to like a $90 million guaranteed. I think it was a 4-year deal with a 5th-year option. But he signed on after the Twins broke the home run record. The Twins in 2019 were the greatest power hitting team in Major League Baseball history, the Bomba Squad. And they added Josh Donaldson to that offense for 2020. And then they got, you know, obviously the problem with Josh throughout the years has been he's had like 7 or 8 different calf injuries and surgeries. And so he didn't play in the postseason last year. And I think that left a bad taste in some fans' mouths. But he's played 120 games this year. He's hit for some power. He's not the same guy he was in his prime in Toronto or back in Oakland. But he can still pick it at third base a little bit. They've got him, you know, hitting in the middle of the order, and he's been driving in runs. So I think he's what people expected, but the problem was they needed to really cash in 2020 or 2021, because the contract gets a lot more sticky the older he gets. He brought a fire and a passion to the clubhouse and to the field when this team was just dead in April and May. And he was supposed to be playing on a contending team and adding that fire and passion to a stretch run right now, a pennant race. And he's obviously on one of the worst teams in the American League. So I'll be curious to see if they try to move that contract this offseason, or if they decide to stick with him, hoping that they can bounce back in 2022.
How frustrating is it to watch Byron Buxton deal with all these injuries as Minnesota Twin?
It is. He's legitimately one of the 10 best players in baseball when he's on the field, but he's only played like 45% of the games going back the last 5 years. And the biggest conundrum the Twins have this offseason is he's got 1 year left of team control. Then he's a free agent after 2022. And to this point, they've been talking contract extension for 2 or 3 years, the front office and Buxton's camp. Can you pay a guy George Springer money, you know, $20+ million a year, that only plays in 50% of the games? Or can you cross your fingers? I mean, I'll bring up another mutual connection, Toronto and Minnesota, from 30 years ago. Paul Molitor played for both franchises. Paul Molitor was always hurt in his 20s, and then eventually became a healthy and more productive player in his 30s. He was productive in his 20s, but he didn't gain health until his 30s. The problem with Buxton is his main attribute is speed, and the older he gets, the less speed he will have, and therefore the less valuable he will be. So it's almost like his prime years of speed and physical peak have been wasted because he can't stay on the field. Some of it's bad luck. Some of it's just he runs into fences for no reason. It's like, dude, just there's a warning track. Take a deep breath. Don't run full speed into a fence in a 9-2 game in July. He's one of the more uniquely talented players in the history of Twins baseball. I just don't know if you can give him $100 million if he can't stay on the field, and he's not going to be fast in 3 years anymore.
Phil, under normal circumstances, when it's not a pandemic, how many Blue Jay fans make the trip to Target Field to watch the Jays?
Man, that's a good question. I feel like they travel pretty well. You know, I feel like it's a northern city, so you know, obviously the division games are going to be easier for Blue Jays fans to travel to. But I think of all of the other American League cities, like it's a pretty easy trip. I'm guessing there's probably some Blue Jays fans that leak over into the Canadian cities that are closer to Minnesota. There's probably some Blue Jay fans in Thunder Bay that make the trip down the North Shore. So I always feel like I don't have like data on this, but I feel like the visual representation of Blue Jays fans is always pretty strong. If you take away the American League Central, like White Sox fans travel well and Royals fans travel well, but like outside of the American League Central, I would say the Blue Jays probably, and the Milwaukee Brewers for interleague games, but outside of like the regional fan bases, they probably travel the best from a long distance.